Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name's Allison Klein. I've got two guests with us today. Bert Haskell, who's the Technology Director for Pecan Street Incorporated, and Paul Navratil, Research Associate Manager for Scalable Visualization Technologies at Texas Advanced Computing Center. Welcome, Bert and Paul.
Hi, Allison.
Thank you.
So why don't we start with you, Bert. Pecan Street Incorporated, why don't you tell us a little bit about Pecan Street and what it means to be the technology director of Pecan Street?
Well, Pecan Street is a energy lifestyle research project. It's also often called a smart grid project. What we're really focused on is discovering the benefit of various emerging technologies towards the residential homeowner. Our approach is to deploy these technologies in real homes so people can live with them on a day-to-day basis and discover how people really interact with the technology and what opportunities there might be to make these technologies work together better to improve the lifestyle of people. So as technology director, my job is to just kind of coordinate that and allow those technologies to become available and to appear in people's homes.
And Paul, obviously the Texas Advanced Computing Center, we've talked about you on Chip Chat before in terms of high-performance computing, but why don't you tell us about your role in a joint project with Pecan Street?
Pecan Street is a really exciting project for us because it really focuses on a large-scale, immediate-use data problem. We get records, sub-circuit measurements from the Miller neighborhood here in Austin on energy usage in the homes in that neighborhood. So every 15 seconds, we'll get measurements from the air conditioner, refrigerator, washer and dryer, etc., and then we put that into a database for use by Pecan Street researchers. Right now, in just over a year of the study, we have over 3 billion records in that database. And so it's a great exercise for us on how to host a database for immediate searching, both for typical SQL queries and for both two-dimensional and three-dimensional visualization.
What are the types of technologies that you're looking at deploying, and where are the biggest gains to be made inside of a home environment or a business environment in terms of more effective energy management?
You know, there's a number of dimensions to that. One is the ability of the individual to manufacture or create their own energy. Primary to that is rooftop photovoltaics. Rooftop photovoltaic technology is coming down in cost very rapidly. It's a cost curve very similar to semiconductor cost curve. That technology is becoming more affordable every year. We're fast approaching a time when the return on investment for the homeowner to have that technology will be very compelling. And so when people have that energy, one way to really leverage it is to be able to store it. So photovoltaics and energy storage are critical. Another way to take great advantage of that low-cost source of energy is to use it to replace gasoline. The ability to capture that energy, store it, and then use it for transportation in an electric vehicle is something that has a great potential to change our lifestyle and to change our economics. That's why we're very focused on the electric vehicle aspect. And then, of course, when you've got all these things working together, you have to manage that flow of energy. So being able to collect, store, and manage the flow of energy within the home, irrespective of the grid that you're connected to, is really going to change the way people live. Having said that, the grid is an important aspect to all that because we clearly need that extra energy being produced on the grid. And it's also a backup, and it's also something that allows people to sell their excess energy. So reinventing business models for how grids perform and how they are used to interconnect people is something that the utilities that are participating in our program are watching very closely.
How much user interaction needs to happen to make the benefits of your engagement come to fruition?
What we're really focused on are technologies that are intelligent and allow perhaps for an initial configuration, but things that learn and things that adapt to people's lifestyle and allow them to do whatever they want to do without having to interact or understand a lot about the technical details of what's going on.
Paul, when you look at this from a data center perspective, obviously, you guys in the back end are doing a lot of analysis of the data that you're capturing. Can you talk a little bit about that and what the overarching technical challenge is from the Texas Advanced Computing Center's perspective?
Absolutely. We really rely on our Intel-powered private clouds to not only ingest this data, but then to serve it back to researchers who are logged into our high-performance computing systems or our visualization systems, or might be streaming that data back to their own system remotely. So the challenges are twofold. One is how to structure that data so that it can be served quickly. A very persistent researcher might be able to take 10 minutes for a query to return, but if we're doing online web-based data analysis, we'd really like that to be 10 seconds, if that, so that someone can get the answers to their questions quickly. The second aspect is then how do we best visualize this data to make it compelling not only to researchers but to the decision makers and to the consumers to begin to ideally start to change usage patterns and to supply better, cleaner power to those communities. We're exploring 3D geographically spaced data so that we can see precisely which blocks are either doing the best job in conserving energy and limiting usage, or perhaps need more help either with changing in behavior or improved technology like air conditioners or home insulation.
So why don't you guys tell us where you are in terms of which milestones you've hit and how that fits into your overarching goals for the engagement?
So far to date, through a subsidy program that we offered last year, we have caused about 200 homes in the Miller community of East Austin to have solar. And that's pretty significant, particularly since they each have about an average of 5.5 kilowatts of solar panels on their roof, which accounts for up to 40% of their energy usage in terms of what it can supply. And also, it's in a very dense area. It's in a less than 1 square mile area, and all those PV systems are connected to one of two feeders that connect back to a substation on the Austin Energy Grid. So we are demonstrating a very high density of solar production so that the grid operator can assess the impact of how that technology affects the stability of the grid. And at the same time, the homeowners are living in a community where they're able to discuss and trade best practices and presumably sort of maximize their collective learning about owning and operating and taking the most advantage of those systems. We've also got about 200 homes in that community and some surrounding communities that have home energy monitoring systems, monitoring individual circuits in each home. So we're collecting, as Paul alluded to, the most granular and largest quantity of home energy usage data ever before collected in North American trial. We're collecting data every 15 seconds on up to 8 circuits in each home. We have also introduced a subsidy which by the middle of this year will cause about 100 electric vehicles to also appear in this neighborhood in about the same geographic area. So this will also be the densest deployment of electric vehicles in a residential neighborhood in North America. Those will be Chevy Volts and a number of Nissan Leafs as well. The presence of those systems, along with some residential energy storage systems and some community energy storage systems that we're installing, are going to allow us to do some very unique research on the grid.
Fantastic. And obviously, all of this data collection will give you some new insights into how people are using electricity inside their homes. What kind of applications and monitoring solutions are you imagining emerging from this data analysis?
We're excited about moving to the predictive level, both for home users and suppliers who might be providing products. If they can make an intelligent product that allows a user to say, I don't want to start my dishwasher or my washing machine until energy prices bottom out, say at 3 in the morning, or just a system that can analyze those patterns and do the right thing. Or a user can program intelligence into their air conditioning system that says, if energy gets above this price point, let's bump up the thermostat 5 degrees. Or if it falls below this price, let's cool down my house. It's those type of questions. And then allowing product producers to enable technology to meet those type of questions that are one of the exciting things for us.
Well, guys, this was a really interesting conversation. Obviously, you guys are on the cutting edge of mapping energy usage and efficiency at a local level, and this can have broad implications across the U.S. and across the world. One final question for you both. Where can folks go if they want to learn more information about what your organizations are doing?
For Pecan Street, it's pecanstreet.org.
And for TAC, it's TAC, T-A-C-C. .utexas.edu.
Fantastic. Well, thanks, guys, for being on the program today. It's always interesting to hear how folks are collaborating to drive to new insight. So thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/design/chipchat.htm.